Well, good afternoon, everybody. Good to see everybody here today. When we walk into the supermarkets of today, we see abundance of food items to buy. Many times what food that we do buy is determined by our food budget. And for those individuals who have medical problems, we choose what foods to eat under the direction based on the doctor's instructions. Some of us may have diabetes, high blood pressure, heart condition, or other illnesses, and the doctor has recommended that we refrain from certain foods. Some people only eat certain foods because they're on a diet, and that diet prohibits certain foods in that diet. Many people are really on the seafood diet. You know, they see food and they eat whatever they want to. What about you? What foods do you eat and you don't eat? When I say you, I am really talking to you who call yourself a Christian now. God's written word, the Bible, has some words about that and gives us God's standards on what is good from evil, what is beneficial from harmful, and help us distinguish right from wrong. God's biblical laws help us to think differently and help us to act and think more like God. The Bible gives us God's laws about meats that are appropriate or inappropriate to eat as for human consumption. God called these meats either clean or unclean. And this concept can change our minds on what we eat. Now, many of you have been in the Church of God for many years and are familiar with this doctrine of clean and unclean meats. And I believe it's from time to time we need to review this doctrine to refresh our beliefs and let those who are new to the Church of God to understand what God wants us to know. In Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, we find lists of clean and unclean animals given by God. In Leviticus 11, God says one must avoid the unclean and be holy. In Deuteronomy 14:3, the nation of Israel was told not to eat any detestable thing, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. And to holy means to be set apart, to be set apart from others. In God's eyes, when we refrain from eating unclean animals as God has specified, it is an identifying sign of holiness of those God who is set apart through a relationship with Him. Now let's open our Bibles to Leviticus 11. And we're going to see what animals God considers clean and unclean. So let's begin in Leviticus 11, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hooves and chewing the cud, that you may eat of. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud or those that have cloven hooves, the camel, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves. It is unclean to you. The rock hyrax, which is really a badger, because it chews the cud but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. The hare, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. And the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, it does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch, they are unclean to you. These you may eat of all that are in the water. Now here's a category of animals that live in the water. Whatever in the water has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat of. But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins or scales, all that move in the water or any living thing that which is in the water, they are an abomination to you. Now let's drop down to verse 13. And these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. And here he is talking about unclean animals. And I will a little bit later read what these animals are. So let's skip down to verse 21, another category of animals. All flying, 21. Yet these you shall eat of every flying insect that creeps on all fours, those which have joined their legs with their feet and which to leap on the earth. These you may eat, the locust after its kind, the destroying locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, the grasshopper after its kind. Now you remember the man who baptized Jesus Christ, that was John the Baptist. He was known for eating locust and honey. Now let's go down to Leviticus verse 27. There's another category of animals. And whatever goes on its paws among all kinds of animals that go on all fours, these are unclean to you. And in verse 29, these are also shall be unclean to you among the creeping things that creep on the earth, the mole, the mouse, the large lizard after its kind, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the sand reptile, the sand lizard, and the chameleon. Also in Deuteronomy 14, it talks about similar animals like this. I'd like to read to you from our United booklet, what does God teach about the Bible about clean and unclean meats? And I'm very thankful that Brad Campbell here, one of his duties and faithful, loyal servant here, he puts out our booklets on the table of our literature. It's all free to anybody, free to our guest. And this is one of the booklets that we have on our list, on our table. If you have an internet connection, you can also go to the United's website, ucg.org, and you can download to your own computer a copy of this, or you can request a copy for yourself. Because my intention today is to focus on what clean animals are, and by God's definition. And there's a lot more that I don't have time to talk about that are included in this booklet that I really hope you look at. Now, Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 were written to God's people, especially, who had just come out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery. And most had lost this information about what God considered clean and unclean. Now, this was the first time that God had codified in the Bible what animals were clean and unclean. But this is not the first time God has mentioned in the Bible animals that were clean or unclean. Now, many people think that what we find in Leviticus and Deuteronomy were for, like, the Jewish people, because it's well known they don't eat pork and these other foods. Now, they've retained their identity, and they've kept these laws. But these laws were given to the entire nation of Israel. There were 12 tribes. And about 1,000 years prior to this time that these laws were given in the Sinai Desert, God had given this information to man prior to this time. Long before there was Israelite nation and the Levitical priesthood long before that. At that time, God commanded Noah to take two of every clean animals into the ark and seven pairs of clean animals into the ark. This can be found in Genesis 7, 2. And a lot of people, they have this conception, they know about the story about the ark and Noah, they see two pairs of animals going up, male and female, up into the ark, and that's it. But God specifies clean and unclean animals here. Notice there's only two animals of clean, but seven pairs of clean animals. I said it wrong? Two pairs of unclean, so I'm sorry. A pair of unclean animals, male and female, but there were seven pairs of clean animals. Now, some say that the dietary laws were done away with the ending of the Old Covenant initiated at Sinai. But that is not really so. In this fact, let's go to Revelation 18:2, and we'll see something very interesting. This is in the end times now. And Revelation 18:2 says, "And they cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird." So here God is talking still about unclean animals. It has not been done away with. Let's also go to Isaiah 65. We'll read a very interesting scripture here. And rather, actually some harsh words from God to Isaiah that he was to tell the people. So let's go to Isaiah 65. And let's start beginning verse 2. Now this is God talking. And he's talking, this time frame here that God is talking about is really the end times, time that is ahead of us. And God is saying here, "I have stretched out my hands all day long to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good according to their own thoughts, a people who provoke me to anger continually in my face, who sacrifice in gardens and burn incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend the night in the tombs," and look at this, "who eat swine's flesh, and the broth of abominable things is in their vessels." So God knows that in the future, man will still eat unclean animals, even though he's told them differently. Now the sin of Adam and Eve, what was that of? It was a sin of disobedience. God had told them not to eat of the fruit that was on the tree of good and evil. Under Satan's disguise that and deception to Eve, she did eat of that. And so did Adam. But Adam was not deceived. And what was her consequence? They were taken out of the Garden of Eden. A woman was forced or told that she would suffer in pain and in childbirth. That man was to toil on the earth to grow his food for the rest of his life. Their sin was sin of disobedience. While it's not directly food, meat items here, it was disobedience to God. The laws about clean and unclean meats, if we disobey that, we are disobeying God. The holy days are coming up, and 2 weeks from now will be in the days of unleavened bread, the time that we put out sin. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ, on which the day we will observe Passover, made it possible for us to repent and be reconciled to God the Father. If we have eaten unclean meats, we can go to the Father, ask for his repentance, repentance on that, and forgiveness, and he will grant that to us. So I'm happy that as we approach the spring holy days, that let's think about all of sins that we do, whether it be a sin of disobedience or whatever, so that we can become a holy people by avoiding unclean meats. Remember that Christ spoke of weightier matters of the law other than unclean meats, laws of judgment, mercy, and faith. So let's all do those things also.